Good evening. I want to welcome everyone back to our Sunday evening worship service. Beat Chill, if you're visiting with us tonight, we're glad you're here to worship with us, and we invite you to come back whenever you can. We also want to welcome those that might be worshiping with us via Zoom this evening. Just a few announcements. We have a very lengthy sick list. It's been posted on the board. The update that I do have is concerning Miss Kathy Graves. She had a knee surgery this past Wednesday and is at home recovering now. So we want to continue to remember her. We also want to remember the family of Brother Glenn Fan that passed away this past week. And I don't have any arrangements to announce at this time. Those going to Lads to Leaders, if you have your sign-up sheet or completed forms for the hospitality room, please give them to Libby this evening if you have them. And also, there will be a form posted on the bulletin board by the water fountain. If you would like to send food for the hospitality room, there will be a form posted by the fountain, and everyone, of course, always enjoys these homemade items. And we appreciate everyone that participates and sends this so that they can have these meals and snacks while we're there. Those leading us in worship service this evening. Oh, one more. If there's been a woman's earring found, if you've lost an earring sometime today in the building, I'll leave it up here on the podium. So if there's anyone missing an earring, I'll have it up here. That was maybe lost this morning. Those that are leading us in worship service this evening, Tony Farese will be wording our opening prayer. James Willingham, our closing prayer. It's appropriate time. Brother King will bring the lesson of the hour. And if you will now, please get a songbook or view the video board as Winston Smith leads us in our singing.
Our first song this evening, number 901, we'll sing the first and last verses, number 901.
No tears in heaven, no sorrows give up. All will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness. When we shall join that happy band, no tears, no tears, no tears out there, sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears out there. No tears in heaven will be gone. Some morning yonder will cease to ponder o'er things this life has brought to you. All will be clearer, save ones be dearer in heaven. No tears, no tears, no tears out there, sorrow will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears out there, no tears in heaven will be known.
Our next song, number 897, we'll sing the first, second, and last verse, number 897.
When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? In in the troubles and cares of the story, then won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful then? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with our bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there where the tempest will never be sweet, because won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there?
Our scripture reading tonight will be from Psalms chapter 34, verses 12 through 19. Psalms 34, 12 through 19. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. May we pray. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we've had to gather here on a beautiful Lord's Day this morning and tonight to study your words, sing songs of praise, and to fellowship together. Dear Lord, it's our prayer that you'll be with King as he delivers the message tonight, that you'll give him a ready recollection of what he's prepared, and that you will let us open our hearts and minds, and that we'll be receptive to this lesson, that we will be able to put out worldly thoughts from our minds for a short period of time. Dear Lord, we're so grateful for the congregation planted here at Beach Hill. We're grateful for our elders, our deacons, our teachers, and our families who attend. We're grateful for the blessing of children in this congregation. We're grateful for our leadership here, our teachers who teach our children. We're grateful for our Lads and Leaders program. It's our prayer that you'll continue to bless that program and bless us as we participate in it. Dear Lord, as you know, there are many who are sick and afflicted of this congregation. We ask you to remember them. We ask that you remember Kathy Graves as she's recovering from knee surgery. We ask to remember Diane Ault, Don Ward, Jim Mountjoy, and others who are receiving treatments. We want to remember Miss Gail Winter, Don Moody, Miss Shirley Estes, Mr. Kenny Butler, Dale Bateman, Randy Grisham, and many others. Please be with all of them. Restore their health if it be thy will. Be with all of the doctors and nurses who are attending them. Be with those who are staying with those that are homebound. And let them know that we miss them and we love them and that we continue to pray for them. Dear Lord, we ask a special prayer for this country. We ask a special prayer for our leaders of this country. We're so troubled by what's going on in Ukraine. We haven't seen trouble like this since 1941, and we just bring all of our troubles and our concerns to you. We ask that you'll be with the Christians in Ukraine and in Poland as they continue to try to protect themselves. Lord, please be with the Christians in this country as we support the congregations in that territory, in that area. And it's our prayer that you'll take care of your children there. It's our prayer that you'll guide this nation and that we'll do your will in that matter and in all matters. It's our prayer that the leadership of this country will turn back to you, that we all in this country will turn to you, and that we will lead lives that are pleasing to you, and that we'll have this country lead lives that are pleasing to you, and that we will do things that are pleasing to you so that you'll continue to bless us. Dear Lord, please be with us as we go about our week. Please be with us as we travel. Please forgive us for all our many sins. Please guide, guard, and direct us. In Christ's name we do humbly pray. Amen.
Our psalm before the lesson this evening, number 237, we'll sing the first and last verse, number 237.
Beyond this land of parting, far beyond the lost, and far beyond the taking and the bereaving, lies a summer land of bliss. Land beyond so fair and bright. Land beyond where is no night. Land beyond, there is no night. Summer land, God is its light. Oh, happy summer land of bliss.
Invitation song number 477, number 477, Brother King.
Would you open your Bibles tonight with me to Paul's letter to the Ephesians? As we announced this morning, both studies will be from this letter, and tonight our study will take us to the first chapter. Appreciate your interest in the worship of God and the study of His Word that draws you here tonight, and those who are at home and not able to be present but are also a part of this service as we worship together and study His Word. The lesson this morning was entitled, Our Lives Raised Up, and tonight, Our Lives Richly Blessed. These are works of God, and the intention of both these messages is to offer perspective by way of the truths that God has taught us in His Word, perspective that will affect us in practical ways in our lives. We tried to bring that out this morning, talking about the ways these truths should affect us and that God has lifted up our lives and how we ought to see ourselves based on the work of God and how that should have certain effects upon our moral conduct and other matters in our lives. Tonight, there is the same intention that we be guided by the truths God has given us to see certain benefits and how these benefits bless us and through us bless other people. In verse 3 of chapter 1, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And with those words, we joining with Paul to express this praise, we feel ourselves to be a part of the house of worship. And I do not refer there, of course, to a physical or material building. I'm speaking in terms that are completely spiritual, as Paul at the end of chapter 2 describes the body of Christ, the church, as the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, and that we are built together as a holy temple in the Lord, a habitation of God in the Spirit. And so it is with that identity in mind that we may join together with Paul and express this worship of thanksgiving and praise toward God, and to do so to the praise of the glory of his grace, as he says in verse 6, or simply to the praise of his glory in verses 12 and 14 of chapter 1. So three times in that passage, in addition to the opening statement in verse 3, we have the tones and the notes of worship involved in this beautiful passage about how God has blessed us through Christ. But we raise a question here. How is it that God has brought these blessings to our lives through Christ? And you could take this complex sentence of Paul, which begins at verse 3 and goes all the way through verse 14. One sentence, one unbroken sentence of the Apostle Paul. And as I said, a complex sentence, but you can work your way through it and outline it. And you see it begins with God's purpose before the foundation of the world, choosing us in Christ and foreordaining us for a purpose. Not that he so chose individuals and thus isolated other individuals and by his own decree condemned others whom he did not choose, but rather God's choice in Christ was a choice to save and to save in Christ. And to that good news, so many have been responsive. You and I have been responsive to that. We hope that all will be responsive to it. But this was God's purpose, and that's where it began before the foundation of the world, a purpose that we might be his people in Christ, that we might be adopted into his household. And second, as we move to verse 7, it's a work of God to bring these blessings to our lives that had to be accomplished by way of redemption. What was lost had to be reclaimed, and the way to reclaim it was very costly. It came through the beloved Son of God and the sacrifice of himself. By his blood, we have this redemption, and the immediate blessing of that redemption, when one receives it, is the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, grace that he freely bestowed upon us, that he made to abound toward us. So those three expressions about the greatness of this grace of God toward us, that God may bring these blessings to our lives. And then third, as you work your way through this complex sentence, verses 8 through 13 is speaking about God's revelation. All of this had to be made known. Otherwise, people would not know it and not have the opportunity to receive it, to experience these blessings. And so God made known these things, the mystery of his will, what was before, something rather hidden, and here and there in scriptures of old times, some information was given, some prophecy, some foreshadowing, some hints, some promises. But now in Christ Jesus, in the fullness of time, all of this has been made clear. And this has been proclaimed in the gospel, which is called the word of the truth, verse 13, the gospel of your salvation, so that they could hear it and receive it in faith in God. So all of this is about how God made these things known. And we may go to this source and throughout all the New Testament, and thus in the light of the New Testament, read the Old Testament and see what God had been working on from the beginning and how it has been made known to us through Jesus Christ. And then finally, at the end of this passage, we're answering a question that we raise. How did God bring all these blessings in Christ to us? Well, it's by his purpose, by redemption, by revelation, and then by the seal that he put upon his people. those who received this word of the truth, the gospel of their salvation, God sealed them. Paul uses a word here that was well known in his world. It had to do with goods that were in the possession of some owner, and they might be being under transport somewhere else. And so the seal represented ownership. On the seal would be information. It also would identify the contents in relation to that owner. And thus it served also the purpose of security. These things under seal were secured by the person who had authority to place that seal there. And in being transported, they had a destination so that these goods came from one place, they belong to somebody, they are secure, and they're on their way somewhere else. Well, all of those meanings are very important to us as Christians, that we belong to God, that we've been identified as His children through Jesus Christ, that we are under the seal of His security as we remain in that place with God through Christ, and that we have a destination that's full of promise of good things from God. This is the most encouraging passage, chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, that begins with this praise to God who's given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. But that's not the end of it. That's just how Paul begins this letter. You could start there and go throughout this letter and make a list of these spiritual blessings, as we've indicated before. But I want to just look at the end of the chapter, in which Paul brings certain blessings to our attention that we can speak of briefly here in verses 15 and following. Notice how Paul says, "For this cause," that is, looking back on all that he has said up to this point, "for this cause I also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which is among you, and the love which you show toward all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Here's the spiritual blessing of prayer itself. How important prayer was to the Apostle Paul. And what was Saul of Tarsus doing in the city of Damascus after Jesus met him out on the road and Saul learned the truth face to face? For 3 days and three nights, he was praying. The one he was talking to was God. How his life had already been changed by the knowledge of that truth, and he was waiting for further instructions. He could not eat, could not drink, but he could pray. And then the good word came to him through Ananias, a Christian. "Saul, what are you waiting for? Rise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And now he could pray as a forgiven man, as a child of God through Jesus Christ, and serve him and worship him as a forgiven man. Prayer meant so much to Paul the Apostle. It's in all of his letters. He begins his letters with salutations or greetings that breathe with the language of prayer. He closes his letters with the language of prayer. I say the language of prayer because Paul's prayers aren't always in a structured formality like our prayers are in public worship, addressing God and closing with reference to the name of Christ and amen. Paul could write prayers that lacked that kind of structured formality. Paul lived as one in communion with God, and in writing his words of instruction and exhortation, all of a sudden Paul could speak in prayer to God as he wrote to others. And this is something that is an encouragement to us to think about our relation with God, that it would be that close, that we at any moment could speak to God in prayer. Of course, doing so as people praying individually in privacy of prayer, we're not making a public show of that. It's just something that we could speak from our hearts without what we say being audible. A simple prayer, a petition to God, because we're before Him at all times. We are supposed to be people who walk with Him, so why cannot we talk with Him? And that language doesn't always have to have the structured formality of a formal type of praying. So Paul says that he's praying all the time for the Ephesians and giving thanks to God for them. We're grateful for those who lead us in prayer and worship and how they lead us with reverence toward God, with evident thoughtfulness for what they have to say, thoughtfulness for God's will, thoughtfulness for our interests and concerns, and giving us good leadership in prayer. They're a good example for those who are younger, both boys and girls. Not that the girls will be leading us in worship and prayer, but it's not that I'm talking about. They're a good example for those boys and girls in understanding how to pray. And they can learn a great deal about prayer by hearing the prayers in worship, but also by hearing their parents pray at home. And so prayer ought to be a very large part of our lives and is one of the spiritual blessings that we have from God through Christ. A second blessing is then brought to our attention because of what Paul prayed for. He was giving thanks to God because of the characteristics in the congregation, your faith in the Lord Jesus, and the love which you show toward all the saints. Here are two of the first qualities of a congregation and its faithfulness to God through Jesus, faith and love. The faith in the Lord Jesus that's among you. And of course, this could be known by the way this faith was manifested in their lives. But it was a blessing they shared together. What bound them together is that they are people who believe in, trust in, and therefore follow Jesus Christ. Their devotion to him is expressed in this word faith, faith in the Lord Jesus. And they share this together. And then the love that they show toward one another, not just a love that is felt or expressed or affirmed, but one that is expressed in action. You show this love toward one another. And Paul was encouraged by that. And it was something very much on his minds. And he thanked the source of that. He gave thanks to God for it because it was a blessing from God in the lives of these people through the gospel. So it's the fellowship of faith and love that we have here before us. And that is a great blessing we have from God through Christ, that we can be a part of a congregation and share in that fellowship. And then a third blessing, Paul mentions also in this prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of knowledge of him. And then he continues from there talking about things that they would learn through this enlightenment that God would give them and the encouragement that comes with it as they receive God's word. What is the spirit of wisdom and revelation that Paul is talking about in this place? Well, in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 20, we hear the voice of wisdom speaking, and the writer Solomon pictures her as a woman that cries out to people. And one thing that she says in crying out to people, appealing to people to give attention to God's wisdom, is found in verse 23 of Proverbs 1. So wisdom cries out and says, "Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known to you my words." So the spirit of wisdom and revelation of which Paul is speaking here is a spirit that reveals the word of God. And God is, and Paul is praying that the congregation would receive this blessing from God, that God freely gives when he gives his word, that what we hear in these words from God are the words of his spirit, his revelation. As we said back earlier in this chapter, that this was one way God brought his blessings to his people. And here the blessings are that we may fully understand these good things that God has prepared for us and promised us. The hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. So enlightenment and encouragement from God's word, that's a spiritual blessing for us as Christians. And then one more. Did you notice that when Paul affirms that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church, in verses 22 and 23, that Paul put it this way? He said, God gave him to be the head of the body of the church. He gave him There's a gift. That's a blessing that God has arranged for our good. So that when we think about the authority over the church, we're drawn by these words of Paul to think about Jesus Christ. We're not under human authority, human wisdom, or any kind of human agency in directing the church. We're under the divine authority of Jesus Christ. And those who lead in congregations, shepherding the flock, overseeing it, are men who have respect for that authority of Christ. And they know his word, and they want his will to be done in the church. And that is a reason to be thankful to God. So these four blessings that Paul mentions in verses 15 through 23 are among those all spiritual blessings that we have from God through Jesus Christ. But what do we do with them? What do we do with prayer, this blessing from God? We make use of it, and we need to make more use of it. Daniel is described as a very high government official in the Persian government in Daniel chapter 6. But do you know that three times every day he went away from his work, went to his place of dwelling to meet God in the appointment of prayer? Three times a day. And surely he was a very busy person with his high and heavy responsibilities, but not too busy to give thanks to God and to petition God for his help. Three times a day. That would certainly give structure of a spiritual kind to a person's life, and that would help to bring God's discipline and spiritual blessings of growth into the lives of Christians. So this blessing is a blessing we use, make full use of it. And what about the blessing of fellowship and faith and love and the congregation that we have from God? The response to that should be participate, shouldn't it? That we become a part of that by giving ourselves to it. Instead of thinking about how should the congregation bless me and did I get everything that I ought to receive from the congregation, in the spirit of Christ who gave himself, we walking in that same love should think instead about how can I participate in this fellowship of faith and love? How can I give myself to make it better and stronger for the blessing of more people? And then what about this blessing of enlightenment and encouragement that we have from God's word? How do we respond to that? Simply by receiving it, and receiving it as God intended for it to be received. And that means through the hearing of the word, the study of the word, and the filling of our hearts and minds with that word so that it becomes the influence that is truly guiding our lives as God wills. And then this blessing of the authority of Christ over the church that God has given to us. Now that's a reason to rejoice, isn't it? To rejoice that we can be a part of an institution that has divine authority over which no man and man's will or opinion is the authority, but rather it is the good will of God through Jesus Christ. At the beginning of this chapter, three times Paul refers to God's good pleasure or good will, the counsel of his will, and God's good purpose for our blessing. And surely in putting Christ over the church, God has expressed his good will toward us, and we ought to rejoice in that blessing. Which brings us back to verse 3. These and so many other reasons we have to give praise and thanksgiving to God who has so blessed us in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. These are your blessings if you have responded to God's good purpose for your life, what he has done to offer redemption to you, to reclaim you, to make you his, what he's revealed to you through the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Have you received it? And if you haven't, have you thought seriously about what is keeping you back from doing that? Why you would wait? As Ananias said to Saul, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And we will leave it there as we sing a song of invitation.
Come to Jesus, we will say, for your sins as great. If you give your heart to Jesus, he will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, dying sinner, of your Savior there is none. He will share with you his glory when your pilgrim age is done. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today.
Our closest song this evening will be number 77. We'll sing the first verse, number 77. You now have the opportunity to partake the Lord's Supper. So let's prepare to cross the hall to your right. Maybe be dismissed at this time. It's so good to see you all in attendance this evening. Hope you come back at each and every opportunity that you might have. And also very thankful for King for two great lessons today. And our last song is number 77. We'll sing the first verse only.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him dearest joys would fade. Anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid. Anywhere I cannot. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, again, we'd like to thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, the opportunity to come here and worship you in the measure of health we're all enjoying. We know that there are many on our hearts and our minds. We ask this time you'll please be with them and comfort and strengthen them as only you can. Please be with us as we start out this week. Give us the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to make the right decisions. Help bring us back in our next appointed time. And thank you for sending your son to come down on the cross for the remission of our sins. And in his name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.